There are few alternatives to effectively treat liver cancer. It is the fifth most common cancer in the world and the third leading cause of cancer-related deaths globally. Researchers have been looking for a means to slow the progression of the disease and extend survival times. In an international clinical study presented in early June at the annual meeting of the American Society of Clinical Oncology in Chicago, doctors reported that they were able to boost life expectancy for patients with hepatocellular carcinoma. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Jennifer Knox, staff medical oncologist at the Princess Margaret Hospital in Toronto, assistant professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Toronto, and her area of expertise involves research into gastrointestinal and kidney cancers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Barry.
How many Canadians are diagnosed with liver cancer each year?
The recent quote is about 1,300 new cases in Canada each year, but it's on the rise.
And what are some of the principal causes of liver cancer, and are there different types? Because when people hear of liver cancer, they'll hear, you know, some patients will, or families will say, well, my father had colon cancer, and then it spread to the liver. And yet others will say, well, the liver cancer just sort of appeared, and they didn't find any other sources of the cancer. So when we're talking about liver cancer, how do we separate these particular types out?
So the most important thing, what we're talking about today, is primary liver cancer or hepatocellular carcinoma. It goes by other names, hepatoma or primary liver cancer. And that is a unique type of cancer that develops in the cells of the liver from the beginning, and it almost always develops on the background of having some underlying liver disease first. The more common type of cancer that you hear about in the liver is when liver has cancer has spread from another type of cancer mm-hmm. to the liver. When you think about it, the liver is a big sponge, and it's not surprising that other cancers spread there. So the most common cancers like colon cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer often will be in the liver, but that's still breast cancer or lung cancer or colon cancer. Mm-hmm. It's not liver cancer. So this new development that we have in liver cancer is really for that specific hepatocellular carcinoma.
So these would be people then, for example, who may have had hepatitis B in the past.
Exactly.
And then years later it has now converted and caused a cancerous changes
yeah.
in the liver.
So almost everybody has some type of liver disease, and whether they were unfortunate to get the virus, the hepatitis B is common, hepatitis C virus is on the rise in North America, or any other type of underlying liver disease of its various causes, really sets the right environment to disease the liver, and then from that, the cancer develops on top of that. So then these patients are quite sick because they have mm-hmm. two diseases. They have the liver disease and the bad cancer.
So when dealing with hepatocellular carcinoma and a patient comes to see you, and you've now diagnosed them with it, say it's time equals zero. So the initial, after the workup, and you find out that you can tell them you have hepatocellular carcinoma, what are the expected mean average survival times for them once they're given that diagnosis?
It depends when they're diagnosed. If they're diagnosed very early on with a small cancer in the liver, and that would be usually someone who has been followed closely by a liver specialist because they know they're at risk because they have hepatitis or something. If that's found, there is a reasonable chance that they can be cured with either surgery or a transplant. But unfortunately, why this is a big problem is most people are diagnosed much later on in terms of the staging. And if you have advanced cancer, so something that can no longer be operated on or treated with some kind of local ablative technique, mm-hmm. then unfortunately the average survival, it varies, but it's really well less than a year. It's probably six to 9 months.
What makes it
terrible?
What makes it especially difficult to treat these cancers in terms of the ability of the tumor to respond or for the treatment to be effective to destroy the cancer itself?
I think there's two main issues with this cancer, which explains why progress has been so slow. First of all, the cancer itself is very resistant to all our other types of drug therapies that have been important in other types of cancer. So So chemotherapies that have come along that have been really important tools in other more common cancers like breast or lung or colon really just have no effective ability to slow down this cancer. So it's naturally a resistant cancer to our standard drugs. And then on top of that, you have a patient who's already a little bit more vulnerable to the side effects of types of treatments because of their underlying liver disease. So chances are, even if there was a drug that was very effective, a type of chemotherapy, you wouldn't be able to give it to them in very high doses or very as often as you give another type of a patient whose liver is normal. So they really do have the two problems.
So now, turning to the study that was presented at the American Society of Clinical Oncology, how was the study designed, and what was being used within this study to try to treat liver cancer?
So the study that you're talking about, it evaluates a new drug called Nexavar or sorafenib, and it's a type of pill that is sort of first in a new class of drugs that are making big inroads into cancer in general. It's a type of medication that targets the blood vessel formation or the new blood vessel formation that grows into growing cancers and helps it spread and grow where it's not supposed to be. And liver cancer is a very, very blood-supplied cancer. And so it makes some sense that targeting, preventing the blood supply from growing into it might be a good approach. And so what this trial was designed to do was test if this new drug, Nexavar, could prolong the life of patients with liver cancer. It's very hard to tell whether a drug is actually helping a cancer patient or not, because especially with this type of cancer, because we don't see drugs that can make these cancers shrink. And unfortunately, the reason that these patients eventually die of their disease is that the cancer continues to grow, makes the liver not able to function anymore, and it's a very vulnerable liver to start with, and then they die of liver failure. So it's very hard to study a drug where you can't sort of give it to someone and see the sort of tumor melt away,
right,
and therefore know it's working. So this study had to be done to really ask the most important question is, you know, would it slow down the rate of change or spread? So the trial was set up where half the patients got this new experimental drug at that time, Nexavar, and the other half got what really is the standard of care, which is nothing or placebo. And that was an ethical study because we really have nothing otherwise to offer these patients. And it was done, around the world, but predominantly in Europe, where most of the patients were enrolled. It's about 600 patients, which is a very large trial for liver cancer. And patients were treated with this drug or the placebo pill until their doctors felt that they should stop. And they stopped because usually because their tumors have grown significantly. And then, the two arms were compared for survival. Mm-hmm.
So what were the outcomes?
Well, basically what was seen was that the patients who received the Nexavar lived approximately about 3 months on average longer than the patients who received the placebo pill. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it actually translates into about a 40% increase in average survival, so it depends how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, very statistically significant number, in that the quality of the study is very rigorous. And I think in the world of oncology or bad cancer treatment, a shift of about 3 months is clinically quite meaningful. We make progress in cancer in small steps, and these steps over time, when you've had a small breakthrough like this, then they start to add up. So the main endpoint of this trial was to show an improvement in survival, which is a very it's an endpoint that you can't really argue with. You know, it's not something you can fudge, and so it's very clear. And it also showed that the side effects that patients experience, and of course, when they're on a trial, everything is recorded very diligently. The sort of bad things that happen to people in terms of feeling sick and having side effects and things were almost the same whether they were on the Nexavar treatment or the placebo, which really tells you that, you know, bad things are happening to these patients because of their disease and not the treatment. So overall, the drug was very well tolerated in that population. And it's the first drug ever in, you know, 30, 40 years of research that's been able to do this. So while the overall magnitude of impact on survival is still somewhat modest, it sort of opens a door of finally something works. And based on that, we can start to try to fine-tune it and build and make it even a bigger impact.
And that begs the next question is what are your plans now with regards to this research and the next steps that you would like to take? What avenues do you think should be followed based on this information?
I think there's a number of things that we can do. The first point we take home from this is that the idea that a drug can actually target the blood vessel formation to cancer in the liver and actually slow down the progression of the disease or spread of the disease. First of all, it proves that that idea was a good one. And so we can try to explore how to take advantage of that more effectively. So the obvious first step would be, could you start doing it earlier on in a patient's disease where at a point where they have less spread and they're in general better health, and maybe the impact of the drug at that point might have a greater impact. The other question is I mentioned earlier that some of the patients, when they are diagnosed earlier, they can have a surgery, excision of the tumor in the liver, or in some cases a transplant. While that does have the hope and the, you know, the chance of curing some people, unfortunately, many of them are not cured by that, and then it comes back at a later point. So the next question would be, could you use the drug early after they have their surgery to try to prevent recurrences? And that, in cancer research, usually translates into an even sort of bigger bang for your buck with the drug in terms of trying to cure people who otherwise would not be cured. So I think those are going to be the next real studies that try to translate this first breakthrough into an even bigger impact on patients.
Now, has this medication been approved for this indication with regards to treating liver cancer in Canada? And if so, is it available to people to use?
Good question. So first of all, no, it has not yet been approved for this indication. I believe that probably Health Canada, who reviews the literature and the data for new drug indications, is probably going to be looking at this fairly soon. But given that the data was just presented in June, that has not happened yet. So the first step is it needs to be licensed for this indication. And then the second step is probably the hardest step is for the various provincial funding agencies to decide whether they'll fund the cost of this drug for the treatment of liver cancer patients, which, you know, in our publicly funded system is becoming more and more a challenge. Having said that, I think given that we have this very, very excellent quality clinical trial that is now the first in history to show survival, I think everybody should be working towards getting this medication for patients as fast as possible. Because it's a pill, if patients have private insurance plans, then probably those should pay for it because the evidence is now there for that. And then I think as soon as the government bodies can come forward with a decision, we hope that they would fund it for this disease.
Well, Dr. Knox, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss this particular study and as well frankly, the first real treatment available for treating hepatocellular carcinoma.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.